Please turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 8, the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter. And let's read together a few verses beginning at verse 31. John chapter 8. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." I want to talk to you this morning about freedom. I want to talk about it in the tune of spiritual freedom. Here we see our Lord very emphatically saying, "Free indeed." What that means is really free, surely free. I want to ask you this morning, are you free? Are you free? How free are you? Are you free as a bird, so to speak? I was reading in a devotional this morning that a migratory bird flies much higher than any of the other birds. And therefore, they are away from the obstacles and the things of this world that would hinder their flight. We as Christians are pilgrims and strangers on this earth. We are, in a sense, spiritually migrating from earth to heaven. Positionally, we're already there, but as we go about this life, we find that life is difficult. Most of you probably already know that. If you don't be discouraged. It's coming soon. It is difficult. It is easy for the Christian to be discouraged. And one of the greatest discouragement is our lack of freedom, things that hinder us in our lives. The other problem we have to deal with is sin. Not somebody else's sin, but our personal sin. How are you dealing with that? Sin will bind you. Sin will put you in a prison. And also, we need to understand the devil is still around. The Bible says he's like a lion prowling, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to pin us up. He is accusing us constantly. He wants to take away our freedom. But I've got some good news, I trust, from God. It's kind of like going to the doctor and finding out you have cancer, and then going back a while later and running some tests and find out that it's gone. That's what the gospel is about. The gospel is good news that offsets the bad news. That's what freedom is. The thing that is so important for us to remember, though, as believers, is the gospel is not just for unbelievers. The gospel is for believers. The gospel is not just a door. It's not just buying fire insurance to keep you from going to hell. The gospel is where you enter in to a realm of the riches and treasures of Jesus Christ that will give you the freedom to burn for God. Now, Brother Todd said, "I'm supposed to preach until this candle goes out." But I don't know if I can do that anyway. And you don't want me to. But I will say this. Having the freedom that God gives us is having freedom to burn for God. And God has to light that fire, but once He does, Don't you let the devil or your sins or your sorrows or your troubles snuff it out. You burn for Jesus. You keep the fire going. That's what God has called you to do, okay? And so I want to talk about freedom. Free indeed, Jesus said. America is a great country. What a privilege this week to celebrate with so many the 250th birthday, so to speak, of our independence as a great nation. What makes America free is her freedom. Or what makes America great, rather, is her freedom. What makes a person great is their freedom. I stood by the bed of Bob Bowman yesterday, and I was standing in the presence of a man that is free. I told him, and I meant it, that he made me feel good just being around him. He's 94 years old. His wife, Jewel, was there, his daughter and his son, and we were standing there, or I was, we were around the bed. He's not able to get up, but he's free. And I know he's free. He had peace with God. He believed the truth of God. He believed God's word. And he's continuing in it in his life. And that's what Jesus says. The truth is what made Brother Bub free. The truth is what makes you and I free. And to the extent we stay with the truth is how we deal with life, how we negotiate the obstacles, even death, so that we can be free and that we can make others feel good about us just being around us. I'll tell you another thing that I believe should ring out in our Christian walk is wanting to make others know they're free. I don't think there's anything where somebody you love is not free and you feel that their guilt or their struggles in life and you just want to shake them and your arms are too short, but you see that Christ is our freedom. Now, the thing about freedom that I want us to remember too is, what is freedom? I believe freedom is doing what you want to do. I believe that a person that has a desire to do something and the ability to do that and the opportunity to do it is the freest person there could ever be. Now, here's what I want you to understand what I mean by that is. Jesus Christ is the only one that can make that happen. Because you can have the freedom to do something, the ability to do something, and the opportunity to do something that will destroy your life. You hear me? You will. You can have that. But Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the only begotten, the Savior that died for our sins, made it so that God has given us life. He has brought us out of spiritual deadness. Yes, He has indeed. And He's given us His Spirit. And He's given us the quickening power of faith to believe it, a desire to serve Him, so that we're here in this life because we want to serve God. Obedience, that is not perfect obedience, is obedience that you're doing that you're really not sure you want to do. You put your whole heart in God. That is what freedom's about. It's about free to do what we are called to do. And God's given us the ability to do it. He's given us the opportunity to do it. That might be in your home, as a husband or a wife, as a mother or a father, as a teacher, as a vocation God has given you. You do all for the glory of God. That is the freedom. That is how your candle burns. That is what God has called us to do. And it's important, though, to remember the only way to do it is through Jesus. That's the only way. See, we're living in a world, and it's the greatest country, that's no doubt. What made America great when it started? Historians will tell you that when this country was settled, I imagine in every house, there was a broad axe, a plow in the barn, and a King James Bible. Those three things. That's what this country was built on. See, freedom is about serving God. Freedom is about doing not necessarily what we want to do by our sinful nature, but what we ought to do by the new nature that God has given us in Christ through the Holy Spirit. And what a blessing to rejoice in that. I believe, though, and I've struggled with this, and I bet a lot of folks in here have. Most of the time, there's a lot of Christians that have gone to church all their life, that have done this, that, and the other, but they live their life in quiet desperation, so to speak. There's something there that's just not right at times. We are not really free. There's some regret somewhere down the road. That there's some root of bitterness that stems up its ugly head. That there's something about forgiveness that we haven't got to yet. There's a grudge out there. We wonder in our best state if we really are forgiven, and how in the world, knowing that we're sinners, how can we get off scot-free? But that's what the gospel says we do. That is the truth. And that is what I want to tell you today. Because I want you to be free. I want you to know that your sins are gone. Your chains are gone. You've been set free. What are you going to do about it? Freedom is a responsibility. It is a tug of war, so to speak. We still have to deal with our sinful nature. But because of Christ and what he's done for us, how he's taken our place, how he has taken the brunt of God's wrath. Yes, he did. He has taken it all for us. There is no such thing as mere forgiveness with God. Don't you ever think there is. God is holy, he is just, and he hates sin with a righteous indignation. And every bit of that wrath for my sin and yours was poured out on the Son of God. We are free indeed because Jesus drank the cup of God's wrath. Here it is, my friends, the cup is empty. There's no more. Sometimes, you know what? I think about my sins. And one day I said, God, you would be just to send me to hell. But I have rather reneged on that. Given what the truth tells me that God has done about my sin, he couldn't do that because Christ has paid my sin debt and he's done yours. There are a lot of people that walk around in the shackles of guilt. They won't admit it. They will turn to a drug. They will turn to some sort of pleasure. They will do anything in the world but face it. But I'm going to tell you this, if you're going to have freedom, you got to have courage. You got to come boldly to the throne of grace. God is not telling you something you got to do. He's telling you something you got to believe. Do you believe that Jesus took away your sin? Do you believe that God died for you? I know you've heard this all your life, but do you believe it? And you got to believe it every day. You got to preach the gospel to yourself every day. You know, in America, there's still a lot of slavery going on. People are enslaved to the culture. Christ gives us freedom to be ourselves. You're not to be like somebody else. I don't mean by that we're satisfied with our sinful selves or the fact that we can get angry or that's just me kind of deal. No, I'm talking about God has given you a unique personality. There's nobody ever going to be just like you. And you can be yourself. I'll tell you, having freedom is really correlated to contentment. In this world today, we are so prosperous. We are enslaved to money. Lots of people in so much debt, they couldn't quit if they wanted to. You got to have things. The almighty dollar. It takes away our freedom. That's what it does. It distorts our priorities. Jesus right here says, you follow the truth and the truth will make you free. Continue, he said. That's something you got to go ongoing to. And that's what God has given us the ability to do. He's not saying that to become free. He says, because you are, you continue in the truth. This Bible is a book of freedom. It is. I'll tell you, I believe in this world today, things are worth too much. Everything but God. At least we think. You know, I was thinking the other day, I know I probably talk too much about it, but I have a few cows over my little place, and I really enjoy them. I mean, they're kind of like therapy for me. I never made a lot of money with them, but, you know, most of them pay the bills at least. I think that's what Penny tells me. But, you know, I had some calves this past few months, weeks ago. I took a weaned calf, brought over $2,000. And I said, well, you know, I ought to be happy about that. No, I'm not. You know why? Because it's taken the joy out of my little cattle operation. See, why? Why am I saying this? It's because, you know, heretofore I'd lose a calf or two during the year. And I'd think, well, that's just nature. You know, it happens. Now I worry that I'm going to lose one. I'm thinking, well, you know, here's $2,000 there, man. What are you talking about? You lay there at night wondering, is the gate going to be left open? And I'm just looking at it in my particular, I mean, you can apply that to any case in your life. You can be a slave to those kind of things, my friends. And it's not that we don't need to make a profit. Don't get me wrong. We got to pay our bills. I know that. But I'm going to tell you this. God has told us that we can be free from worry. Now, are you free from worry or not? Worry is a sin. And so what I'm saying is Jesus said, you look at that little flower, or you look at that bird. God's going to take care of you, okay? And you know, just the sovereignty of God should give us comfort. Now, it is true. You and I have been allotted a certain amount of trouble in this life that we're going to bear. Did you hear me? It's coming our way. It's from God. It has a purpose. It is the shape and the mold us and makes like Jesus. It is to refine us. It is to make us depend on God, but it's coming, but you can be free about it. I visited three men yesterday who were dying, so to speak. Though we all are, really. Two over in hospice, and one over at his house. Every one of those men had peace in their heart. They were not laying there with some sort of secret sin that bothered them. You know, one of the things I remember in my little ministry, I was talking to a man one time. And this man was about to die. And what bothered him and bothered me was he said, "Brother Ian, I don't know if I'm forgiven or not. What am I going to do?" I mean, that's the situation. And I said, "Well, brother, do you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins? Have you confessed those sins to him? Do you believe? Have you turned from them?" And my friend, your sins are gone. How far are they gone? Forever. God says, "I'll not remember them anymore." The psalmist says he's put them as far as the east, behind him is the west. Micah 7 says he's dumped them in the sea. And he put up a no fishing sign. I mean, he's gone. It's not about just getting better, my friends. It's about understanding that you have been justified freely by God's grace. It's not about the fact that, well, you just kind of do the best you can do, that you might make it, that you really want to reform, and that you're so sorry that you broke that resolution you made last year. No, it's not about that. It's about trusting in Jesus Christ in everything, for everything, because that's how it is. Free indeed. Freedom is powerful. It is powerful. Because good news is powerful. I hope that it would make you feel better to know that your sins are forgiven. Jesus is how that happens. He says, if the Son makes you free. Notice he says the Son, the S-O-N. He's talking about the incarnate Son of God. That's what he came to do. The truth of God is powerful. The church of God today needs to be proclaiming the truth. We don't need to be ashamed of it. We don't need to hinder the dispersion of it. We need to just go ahead and say it like God says it. It is powerful. It will change your life. Jesus Christ is the truth, the way. This book is a book of truth. It's the only truth that we have. There is no other. If you stop following Jesus, you stop following the truth. And Jesus told his disciples, "Will you also go away?" And they said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." In other words, you have the truth. Where are we going to go? Where are you going to find the truth? Now, sometimes the truth hurts. But it's the truth. But sometimes the truth feels pretty good. Jesus tells a woman in this very chapter of John 8 that was caught in adultery. He says, "Woman, where are thine those accusers?" She says, "Lord, they're all gone away." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." See, what I'm talking about today is a freedom that we desperately need. How thankful we need to be for the men and women who face the perils of warfare, who still discipline themselves and are away from their homes and families to maintain that freedom. But how much more should we praise and glorify the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, for making us free? Notice, he made us free. He had to make us free. Just like the great shepherd had to make us lie down in green pastures. He makes us free. And you know what? You can be free in a prison cell. You can. You can be free on a hospital bed or over there in hospice. You can be free because that freedom is in your heart. And it's what Jesus gives us. Sure, we're going to have to suffer some. Jesus said we would. But what a privilege to suffer for His sake. What a blessing to know that we have the freedom to serve Him. Freedom is possible. It's not always present. How is it with you? Notice He says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. How we clear up the if is using the faith that God gives us to trust in the merit of Jesus Christ, of understanding that justice has been served to a holy, righteous God. That has been served by the sacrifice of the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. Don't tell me that is boring. I know you've heard it before, but you need to eat it up fresh. Okay? God will not punish twice. He is just. That is true. But He's not going to punish you for the sin that He's punished His Son for. He's not. I'm not talking about feelings. I'm talking about faith, which God gives us. And then lastly, you know, freedom is purposeful. It's purpose. There's a purpose for it. You know, when God brought Israel out of bondage in Egypt, you know why He did that, you remember? So that they would serve Him. Do you know why God has brought you and me out of the prison of darkness and revealed to us His truth? That we're sinners? Do you know what a wonderful fact of truth that is, if you can realize that? Because you and I will not appreciate the gospel until we see the desperate case that we're in. One reason we're not as free today, and I'm talking about even in the church. Well, one reason is Satan, he's good at counterfeiting truth. All of the cults that I know of take the Bible and tweak it a little bit. See? And what happens, the followers of those cults become in bondage to lies. And they are so convinced of it, you've heard the cases where people have actually taken their own lives in the name of a lie. I'm going to say this. You stay with Jesus, you will be free. Now you got to shake off sin and Satan and the devil. You do. We still got to deal with it. But we don't live in it anymore. Because we are dead to it, according to Romans 6. We have died to sin. That doesn't mean we don't have a desire to do it sometime. Doesn't mean we're literally dead. It means that we're dead to the power and the penalty of sin. We do not have to let sin reign in our life. We can be free. Those sinful thoughts you and I think, we don't have to think them. You don't have to. You don't have to sin. We do, but we don't have to. Why? We've been freed from it. Let me close in just one verse, and it's time to go. I know that candle's not quite out, but I'm going to let you go. Galatians 2:20. You've heard this before, but here's the purpose of freedom. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. For he died with Christ. Yet not I, not me, but Christ liveth in me. Did you know that? Now the one that made you free lives within you. That's what the Bible says. And the life which I now live in the flesh, you are living in the flesh. Is it a life of sinlessness? No. I wish it was. I bet you do too. But you live by the faith. That means you trust God with everything. Of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank you for the truth. We thank you for the freedom that is a consequence of it. Help us, Lord, stay in the truth. And when we get off the path of truth, help us, Lord, get right back on that road that has a firm foundation. Thank you, Lord, that freedom is possible. Help us to realize that, Lord. May none of us live any longer with the shackles of doubts and fears and worry and guilt and regret to the point, Lord, we get to the point we don't think we can be useful in your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for dying for us and cleansing us from all sin and making us priests and kings in your great kingdom on earth. Thank you for loving us so much. And help us, Lord, show that respect and love by maintaining our freedom with a courageous fight of spiritual warfare from which you've given us the armor and the ability to find the victory in Jesus most complete. Lord, help us die the death of the righteous. Help us lay down in peace and the strength, O Lord, of knowing that you've taken care of all the business that really matters, namely our relationship to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.